Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the dudes dive into everyday struggles like intrusive thoughts, comparing ourselves to others, and feeling stuck on someone else's timeline. We talk about the power of being present, choosing compassion over negativity, and how the energy you bring to the world can inspire and uplift those around you. Please enjoy this special surprise guest host episode 89 of the Rude Dude Pod. I'm ringing down, 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 and if I were you, where are you? I'd lay low. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast. The show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you that haters are going to hate, but you are loved. I am your host and favorite recovering alcoholic, Henny Lokes the Lobster, with my pal, my buddy, my guy, my surprise guest co-host tonight, Jesse Stank Daddy Vance. How are you there, Jesse?
Doing well, brother. Doing well.
Dude, this dynamic has already thrown me so far off my routine. The weirdest part is that, for one, Cameron always creates the meeting, so he's on the side of the screen that I'm on normally. So for one, I'm just screen swapped, which is already tripping me out. But
so you don't have your little divot like in the mattress, like your little
yeah. Nook? Actually, I'm kind of tired of my nook in the mattress. This big fellow can wear a mattress out. I know you feel me.
You know that's dude, right.
I go up to like snuggle with my wife, and I have to like climb uphill to get there.
Climb out of the crevice. You, or like you roll a little bit to the side. Yeah. Now your whole life is cockeyed. Oh, I don't. My iPad.
Whoa,
just, like,
follows you.
Follows me. That's a little trippy.
Well, so Cameron, he is like the movie with the evil corporate boss who's like, we got to get these numbers before Christmas. I don't know exactly what's going on, but that's how I picture it in my mind.
Or you're fired.
Yeah. So Cameron is burning the candle at both ends, slaving away, licking the boots of the corporate
couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Bummer. But he was like, yeah, man, you could record a solo sesh tonight, whatever. So he doesn't even know that you're here yet. I have not told him, so he's in for a good surprise. But I called my boy Jesse, friend of the show. He's been on here before. If you haven't listened to his episode, go listen to it. I don't know what it's called. You'll find it. But Jesse, thanks for coming on, my brother. How are you?
Thanks for the invite, man. I'm doing well. I am decompressing. I'm like intentionally trying to kind of lower my baseline anxiety. Making some pretty big changes in my life.
How are we achieving that? That's an interesting idea, concept.
It sounds lazy because it kind of is. It's just sitting still, man. Like, I'm in between jobs right now. I just put in my notice and left my company. And, I'm going from the last couple of years being like on call 24/7, 365 to, I still get calls. Like I'm still helping people and kind of doing that, but there's not the pressure for, you know, that being my job, having to report that back, obviously like paperwork and all that fun stuff too. So it's a little more freeing and really just kind of untying myself from that constant. There's something I need to do. Or something may be coming down the pike that I will.
Dude, that is a tough position to be in. People in your field where you get calls basically all day and even into the night where there is no I'm off work and things are done. And I mean, that's kind of, you know, the part of being a business owner as well. It's like you don't just clock off and you're done, but there is a definite level of like stress and anxiety of like you're just chilling at the house with Squish and your lady, and then you get a call and you got to put on corporate Jesse voice and like, yes, how can I help you? And
Yeah, I got to turn down Sesame Street and toss the baby up.
With the bathwater.
Yeah. So it's kind of a change of pace, and it feels, you know, I throw that word lazy out there because like it feels like I'm being lazy, but I'm really, like I said, my baseline has just been like a 7 out of 10 anxiety, you know, for so long that, you know, I'm trying to get my house in order on a bunch of different levels. And that's one of them, obviously, is like internally just kind of getting back to, you know, the chill dude that I prefer to be, because I have not been feeling like that chill dude for quite a while.
Yeah, man. Anxiety and stress is a wild thing. It's pretty mind blowing to think about. And I don't know how many people know this or remember this. Stress can cause cancer. Stress causes cancer. Did you know that?
They were. No, I did not know that.
People get cancer from stress. People get sick from stress.
Jamie, pull it up.
Jamie. And I'm sitting here like, when you didn't know it, I'm like, maybe I just made that up. I don't know. Is that even true?
Yeah, no. I remember seeing a documentary about like it was about like manifestation and how like positive energy, you know, brings about positive, but it also like highlighted the negative side of that, where it was like, if you're constantly in, you know, like stress mode, that you're releasing like proteins or some, I'm talking out of my neck now, but you're releasing things that do essentially cause long-term health issues. I just never heard about like that turning into cancer.
I lied about cancer. Okay.
Okay.
Chronic stress can wear down our body's defenses, lower immune responses, and make us more vulnerable to all sickness, including cancer. Studies haven't shown a clear link between stress and cancer, but it definitely, I guess what I meant and what I bastardized is that stress can be physically harming to you. Like it can cause sickness. And I like what you said about slowing down too. I was just listening to another podcast and they were talking about, it was Joe Rogan, and he was talking about how some of his best ideas used to come in his car that he didn't have a radio in, because he didn't have all the distractions. We have this bullshit and we're never bored. We're never, and like, I'm guilty. I'm more guilty than everyone. Like, oh, I'm going to be waiting in line for 6 seconds, pull out my phone. I'm going to like immediately, you know, and we never.
Dude, I'll be watching a movie and pull out my phone and start scrolling while I'm watching TV.
Well, and here's the worst. Sometimes I see Lyndon and she's playing on her iPad and she's got a show going and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And I'm like, exactly what you do, bud. That's exactly, you do that all the time. And I'm like, all right, well, I need to model better behavior before I can, you know, get on her helmet. I do like the screens, man. But anyway, we're never bored. But there's less creativity. More creativity is born out of like exploring your mind and having to like think about stuff and just wonder and explore and we have this constant stream of information and bullshit coming through, so we never have it.
That's it, man. I feel like the old, like, figure it out is off the table now 99% of the time, because you can just Google it. You can chat GPT.
Yeah.
You know, there is no, like, figure it out. You know, like, now it's Google it. It's, you know, it's find a guy for that, hire a specialist, you know, whatever. But, like, for instance, like, my son wants to go camping, you know, Iden wants to go camping, and we've been watching Outdoor Boys on YouTube. So he wants to be like Luke, and it's like, he wants the, you know, the instant gratification, right? He wants basically the camp to be set up when he shows up and just, you know, just lay down in the tent and it'd be nice and warm and cozy. But like, we're having to go through all those steps.
We got
to
make like the sausage, learning how to kid. Build.
Totally, man. Like, we got to learn all the parts, and that's the, you know, that's a dying art, man. Delayed gratification is so not valued. You know, it's undervalued, I guess.
Well, it's funny. This just reminded me, I'm playing JD in the fantasy playoffs, and he literally was like, so there's a Thursday night football game, you know, he was like, and one he played Deebo Samuel, whatever, and he was terrible. And he was like, the funniest part is he was like, I wanted to sit his ass, but you know, instant gratification. I wanted some points tonight. Like, not because he's the better player, but because we're man. Addicts and we fucking want it now.
Yeah, trying to get one more, man. No doubt.
Yeah, and it's tough. Like, it's raising a generation of – dude, I think about this all the time. So, and I think I've told this story on here, but it bears repeating. It's so funny. Me and my friend, when we were like 7, 8, 10, I don't know. My brain doesn't keep track of dates. We would climb her fence and go into her neighbor's yard, who kept his cigarettes on a table out back. And we would steal his cigarettes and we would just dry puff them to be cool. Like, we didn't light them, just
for
play. And we were like, could we get cancer from this? And so we busted into her dad's collection of encyclopedias to try and look up if we could get cancer from fucking dry smoking a cigarette. Like, that's how it used to be. Like, we searched through books and we didn't fucking know, and it wasn't at your fingertips. And like, and I don't know the point I'm making, but it's just, it's so fucking different now, man. And it's so, and even kids, a 4-year-old will be like, well, look it up. Look it up.
Well, that's the baseline, right? Like, and I've been, I guess what it is like, it's easy to get away from you because, you know, I remember having the thought like a year ago where I was like, hey, you know, what I said about like the phone and the TV, that was kind of my litmus test where I was like, man, I'm so understimulated. I'm so like starved for dopamine that I'm sitting here watching a movie or, you know, something that I'm interested in and just automatically I'm on the phone, right? So it's like I made a conscious effort at that point to like put the phone down, you know, limit the stimulation and how many things I'm allowing to do that at any time. But when I ignore that, when I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, I justify it for whatever reason. Like, it's okay. You know, I had a long day. I deserve to stimulate myself, melt my brain. You know, it just becomes the habit, right? And then that baseline anxiety goes up because I'm so much harder to satiate as far as my attention, you know? So that's like, I almost feel like I'm going through withdrawals right now because today I sat home and I did it. I went out and ran a couple errands, but like, I really just sat. Like, I just chilled. I slept in a little bit. You know, I did do some work. Like, I'm helping a couple people get into treatment, but like, it's nothing like what my day-to-day has been for the past 2.5 years. Like, nothing.
It's like that meme of Pablo Escobar from where he's like sitting on the swing, like looking out into space.
Yeah. It's Ricky Bobby, bro. It's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
With my hands? Like,
you said stimulate yourself. Yeah. And you know what I've realized too? I mean, for one, we're absolutely addicted to our phones as a generation, as a class of species, because it's a lot of people. And last night I was watching the 49ers game, and that's my team, and I get anxious, especially when we're doing bad. So I pick up my phone a lot, and I kept thinking, like, I want to watch this game. Why am I on my phone? Because normally, like, I'm into it, but it's because I was anxious because we weren't doing well. And so I realized this is my little, like, binky that I pick up and I scroll because it's like my little escape when I don't want to think about my thoughts and my scaries and whatever is going on in my head. I just pick it up to like zone out. And that's not healthy. Right.
Right, man. And it's like what Sadhguru talks about as far as like his nirvana. I forget the word he uses for it, like his yogi term, but he talks about like the, basically, he's like, you know, everything outside of me is something that I may or may not be able to control. Like, it's a zero to like 90%. I might have control over that. But everything in here, I have a say in. You know, I get to control this environment that's inside my head.
Must be nice.
So like, yeah, you know, it sounds good. Probably looks good when you write it down. But like, you know, when he talks about that is his path, that is a path, right, to like enlightenment, inner peace. Then we're talking about the exact polar opposite of finding that gratification from the little box that we, you know, hold in front of our face which is outside of our body, you know? So it's like, you know, it's, we could be at peace, but like memes.
Well, and it's why we say addiction is addiction, and it doesn't matter the drug, because if people don't realize, it's literally no different than picking up a drink because I don't like what's going on in my head. I mean, the drink has potentially more consequences, blah, 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 blah. But what's happening in your brain is no different. You're trying to like change your insides or outside, you know, forces. And that's one thing I was going to say is that is one reason why I love playing guitar. And Cameron and I have talked about the importance of like a hobby, whatever that is, like painting, whatever, because when I play the guitar, I focus on the guitar. I'm using my brain. I'm using my body. I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing the music and making the music. I'm not looking at a fucking TV. I might be looking at my phone for the notes, but I'm not like mindlessly scrolling. But it's the one time like where I'm focusing on something that's like a little bit difficult, but it's also fun and it's testing me. And it's like the most, besides like working, it's like the most productive and good thing. Besides that and working out, it's like the best thing I do for myself. And I don't do it enough because half the time when I'm done working, I just want to sit and do nothing on my phone or something.
Be alone. Yeah. Yep. Big time, man. And that's what I love about music too, is like I've discovered like parts of myself while playing music and like by myself stuff too. So like when people talk about like meditation, I've never been good at the, you know, sit in lotus position and, you know, like maybe I'll fucking levitate. Like that's never been something I can sustainably do. Bless you. And, you know, what I find is that when I play music, not every time, it's like one out of maybe three or four or five times, it'll happen. But like I get a period of that jam where time is not a thing. Time does not exist. And sometimes like today with that clip that I sent you, like when I found that right key for that song, that was like an out of body, very connective experience with something that that there are not words for, you know, and that's church, bro.
I was listening to Scott Storch on Joe Rogan, you know, super fan, super producer. And he said, what was the term? I believe he said downloading satellite. And Joe was like, what's that? And then he kind of explained it. And Joe's like, oh, yeah. And it's where like what seems like happened to you today. Somebody, something delivers this art to you and you're just like the, you know, the muse. Yeah, you don't know kind of where it came from. It just like pulled up and you're like, hey, here it is. Yeah.
And I don't get to keep it either. That's why it's so beautiful, because it's like so fleeting. It's this like fragile little finite thing that like sometimes I'll get a song or a melody or a groove, and like I've got a bunch of them that I have managed to record, but there's way more that I didn't, where it was like, you know, in that moment, like a certain, that thing comes and I can like trap it or catch it, you know, for a second, and then it's gone. Dude. And I can't, if I try to bring that progression back up to do the harmony in the same way, like it's not, it's so beautiful.
Do you know how many bars have been lost to the shower? I'm like, oh my God, when I get out, I'm going to write that shit down. And then you're like, fuck, dude, what did I say, dude?
Only the only worthwhile freestyles I've ever done in my life were when my ass was out.
Dude, period. I'm just like channeling fucking Eminem and God. And then I get out and I'm like, what the fuck did I just say, dude? Oh, dude, it is gone. It's gone.
I feel like if that's not your sign to like become a nudist, I don't know what is. Because like maybe we're channeling the muse through the lightning rod.
Maybe because our skin is available to be penetrated with the goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
We're available to be penetrated and we're satisfying ourselves. All right.
What did Cy say earlier? Something about getting a nice load from that guy.
This guy dropped me a nice load. We were like, I bet he fucking did.
He was so serious too. I was like, don't threaten me, bud.
But bringing it all the way back, I love what you said doing nothing, because for the listener, sit here and think about the last fucking time you just did nothing.
Intentionally. And
for me, when I do, I know in 30 seconds, like, my brain's like, what's, and my, you know, I make these excuses. I'm like, I got crypto to check on. I got fantasy football to check on. I got see what the weather is tomorrow for work. And the way my brain,
there's something
the way
in
my
here
brain set up is if I think of something, I need to know right now. Like, if I wonder what the weather is on Christmas in Sacramento, well, since I have the capability, I have to find out right now. I have to stop what I'm doing and like figure it out now. Yep. And so, yeah, challenge the listener. When was the last time you did nothing? And if it's been too long, do a little bit of nothing, and or do that hobby that makes you feel good, that makes you feel, that makes you think, that makes you channel your artist, your inner artist, or your inner child.
Yeah. Well, and like the cool thing too is like how scary that is tells me it's worth doing, you know, because I have that voice pretty regularly in my head. And Joe Rogan talks about the little like I think he calls it like he talks about it as a gym teacher, you know, like a mean gym teacher in his head. But I have, you know, that feeling you talk about when there's 30 seconds of downtime and then there's this voice in my head that like screams at me and it's like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And most of the time that's really good because it like drives me, it just keeps me moving and it keeps really cool things happening. But like when I'm intentionally sitting down and like the goal is to do nothing, that is one of the more challenging kind of things I've done recently, because of how foreign it is. And that tells me it's worth doing.
Absolutely. A little bit of discomfort to get the good goods. So normally one of the things that Cameron and I were going to talk about was the last episode, and there, I know you haven't listened yet, but there's one thing, and I know you'll be able to relate, but we asked him what his favorite part of recovery is, as we do all our guests. And he had a really awesome answer, and it basically boiled down. He was like, being a good father, being a good, boyfriend, being a good son, blah, 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 and basically boiled down to like being present for the people he loved. And dude, that completely hit home with me, because that, like, my family, they just have gratitude for having their son and brother and cousin and whoever back, father, you know, like, and it is so cool. Like, it's so cool to be like, no, I got you. Instead of they were always had to take care and worry about me. You know what I mean? And to like, absolutely. Even my wife is sick right now. She has cat scratch fever. Did you know that's an actual thing, first of all?
Yeah, I do. That's,
and I guess one out of every 12,000 people get it. Dude, her arm is, her lymph node and her armpit's like swollen. She can't lift her arm up. Her right arm's numb. Jesus. Like to the point it's making her nauseous.
Is that like something that you have to worry about like getting again? Or is it like a one and done? Like,
no,
you
don't have to get rid of your cat? Oh, no, I don't think so. We're guessing like the cat was just digging in its duty and scratched her or something. I don't know. But Martin. Anyway, it's funny because it's a perfect example of what we're talking about. And I'm like, I went and got Lyndon dinner. I made her some dinner. I stopped at the grocery store. I picked Lyndon up from school. And it's this perfect example of exactly what Jake was talking about, being able to be there, you know, versus like when my ex, she got her boobs done. And she, you're very loopy and you're on Percocets and whatnot, and you can't really lift your arms and all that, so you need someone to take care of you. Well, what does old Hanky Panky do? Well, he's blasting down fucking vodka nonstop and stealing your Percocets. So Hanky Panky's passed out on the floor while you need taken care of, so her sister had to come over. Like, and I say this, it's pretty funny, but it's also really sad. And like, I'm not, obviously not bragging because it's fucking terrible, but that versus me now and her being like, I'm sorry, I'm boring and I'm sick. I'm like, baby, you're good, because last week I was sick and she took care of me.
Facts.
And it's like, we pick each other up.
Didn't think.
We pick each other up. You're down. You're cool. I got you. When I'm down, you got me. But yeah, that's the longest way of saying being there for people is super sick.
Dude. And it's like, that's something I talk with my son about a lot, Aiden, because we talk about the things worth doing, you know, and yeah, man, like, you know, I'm getting ready. Part of my, I'm taking a significant time off of work between, you know, jobs before I start the next one, specifically to like do the most with getting my life in order. You know, and a big piece of that is going to be like going to Texas and spending some time with my family. That's going to be really uncomfortable, you know, doing stuff like I would not like to do. But that's like, they were there for me my entire life, you know, and they showed up, every single time, you know, I ever needed them and then some. And, you know, now to look at being able to show up for them, you know, the duality of it is insane, right? Because it's like, I've built up, I guess, enough equity with them that they trust me to like come into their house and clean the whole thing out and like, you know, basically transition them like out of life, you know, in a big way. You know, I don't take that lightly by any means, man. And that is a beautiful thing.
Which is kind of cool, because I don't know if it's part of your story, but it's definitely part of mine, where my family had to move me out of a couple houses because I was in rehab. So facts. Being able to like reciprocate that finally, you know, and the older you get too, the more you realize there are great friends, of course, but there's not like tons of them. And, you know, we could also say like chosen family, but there's like your family or who your chosen family, you find out who the most important people are, that the ones that will do the same for you. And those are the people that the most important people that you want to, you know, keep that relationship nurtured and reciprocate. Absolutely. And do what they would do for you. And yeah, man, I just like, I love that answer, because it boiled it down, and it's so true, because when we're in addiction, we're simply not. We're not there. Yeah. We're not available. We're not helpful. We're not reciprocating. It's one way, and it's painful for them, and it's, you know, sloppy on our end. So yeah, just being able to be that, and you have those moments where like you're saying, like, they trust me to come help them and they're happy to have me and all that. Like, you have those moments where you're like, oh yeah, this is cool as fuck, because there was a point when they didn't want me around, you know?
I know, that's right. Well, and especially thinking about like, cause my experience was that, you know, I never had to get moved out, but I had to get moved in a million times. Like, growing up, we became homeless more times than I could count. And it was like starting from nothing. You know, grandma's across the country, but like, she got us, you know what I mean? She's going to make sure like we're okay. And even though like we were homeless, like, I never had to sleep on the street growing up. And that was her, that was them, you know, and just kind of like my guardian angels. And so like getting clean, and normally it's just, she's in Texas, I'm in West Virginia. So most days, the best I can do is like listen to what's going on that I'm powerless to help with in that day. And that's some of the hardest, like, that's some of the hardest moments I've had to go through to date. Because I do want to show up, and I have that savior complex, and I want to show up and save the day and organize everything and be the man. But like in those moments, all I can do is just tell her like, I love you, and you know, I'm here with you. Right. Like that's the best I can do, and kind of help sort stuff out logistically. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to do whatever I can. And that's what that looks like.
Yeah. And even further than that, excuse me, I think it's really important to remember how blessed you are, or I am sometimes, but we'll use your example to be able to take time off work or switch jobs, whatever, have the luxury of being able to afford the flight and go there and physically be able to be there, because that's not a reality for everyone either. And just like where you've gotten in your recovery and in your life and where you're at today, that you're able to do any and all of that is actually really fucking cool too, you know?
Dude, I'm so beyond humbled by the life I have today, bro. Yeah, big time.
And they say it too, right? Like, what is the beyond your wildest dreams? And your wildest dreams, you don't realize that they look different once you get there, but you're like, oh wow, this is actually pretty incredible. This is it.
This works. Yep.
Well,
and it's cool. It's interesting when I see sometimes how, you know, like when I'm really desperate and I'm, you know, those foxhole prayers and I'm like praying to break the generational curses, praying just to like be a service to my community, you know, all the pretty like virtuous things that I want to do. And then I get, then God, the universe, whatever, like answers my prayers and I get the thing. And for instance, like my son, my oldest son will tell me something like, you know, daddy, I don't know how to do this thing. Right. I don't know how to change a diaper, whatever it is. Right. And he's 6 years old and I compare myself to him. So I think at 6 years old, I was making my own lunch. I was doing my own laundry. I was cleaning the house. I was like taking care of my baby brothers that were newborns and like, you know, helping out with PT and OT for my mom because she was on bed rest. Like, so I get frustrated in that moment and I'm like, well, you should, you know, at my age, at your age, I could do blah, blah, blah. But then I realize that my prayers have been answered because he gets to be an innocent 6 year old kid. He gets to have a childhood. He gets to, you know, have the mysticism of the things that like I didn't get to have a lot of. And man,
what a blessing, dude. A 6 year old shouldn't have to do his own laundry, you know.
God is good, brother.
I love that too, because it really is the small things. The other night I was watching football. I had my feet up. My beautiful wife was decorating the Christmas tree with my sweet little stepdaughter. And that was it, dude. And I was like, this is dope. I got a gorgeous woman who loves me. I got a sweet little child who thinks I'm the cat's pajamas. I got my feet up watching football. They're in the holiday spirit. Like, and that's it. That's a life beyond your wildest dreams right there. That simple. It's like, yeah, this is it. This is all right. Like, that's all you need. It doesn't have to be that complex.
Absolutely, man.
And talk about how gratitude starts small. And I even shared, like, I put a picture of it on my story, like, feet up, watching football, holiday spirit, wife's decorating, life's happy, life's good, dude. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. What more could you want, man?
All right, dude. So I had this thought the other day. Cameron and I talk about intrusive thoughts a lot. And
okay.
So we're going to play a game. It's called, is this because I'm a crazy fucking addict, or is this an intrusive thought, or both?
Baseline rules of engagement. If it's not crazy, if we're putting it in the not crazy category, is that, are we assuming that's like normal? Like anybody could have that?
Yeah, I guess I want to take the word crazy out of there because, you know, it's a little, but sure. I'm like, is this addict brain or is this just a intrusive thought like everyone has? So let me paint this picture and then we'll go through it. So dude, and I'm almost like embarrassed to say this because I do think that a lot of people, and especially quote unquote normies, will be like, god damn. But here it is. I was leaving Lowe's in my truck. I saw a homeless person sitting outside of the building drinking a beer, and my brain goes, at least he gets to do whatever he wants. And I was like, bro, what? Like, what are we talking about here? Because, and let me explain further, what was going on was jealousy. Like, I was like, I'm driving in my like nice work truck, working like for my own business, like whatever, whatever. And I'm like, it must be nice to just be able to sit on the curb and drink a beer and have nobody be mad at you. And I'm like, dude, that is so fucking crazy. That is not like, and I want to like clarify that this was not an active like thought that I thought about and was like, yeah, that makes sense. It was snap immediate. And I was just like, bro, what are we talking? Like, life is good. You're good. This is good. Look where you're at. Look where he's at. He's probably not having a good time. But the initial thought was like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's totally like, for me, I would say without a doubt, that is anybody would have that intrusive thought. Because what I hear, like what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, you're busy, you know, being the busy beaver, and you see this guy who like ain't got shit to do, and you're like,
that's all right.
I wish at this very moment right here, right now, I could flip a switch and not have shit to do. But the insane part, which we already know, is that there is it's not a switch that can be turned back off. Mm-hmm. So like that's where your thinking immediately got shut down. You know, the filter, the boundary, the barrier, the recovery, whatever, kind of stopped. It kind of did its job and was like, nah, it's dumb. You know, but if it's a situation where, like, again, like, I'm overstimulated, I'm on call, I'm 7 out of 10 anxiety scale, and I see somebody who doesn't have somewhere to be,
yeah,
I'm like, shit. Must be nice.
All right. You know? Well, see, if for everyone listening, this is why AA and NA meetings are great, because you go, am I crazy? And then someone like Jesse goes, nah, dog, I would do the same shit. And then you realize you're not crazy. So, and I'm sure a bunch of people listening right now are like, yeah, bro, I be thinking some weird ass shit too. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Facts.
I'm not the only mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. And if in case everyone's wondering, as you can tell, I still have the hepatosurfagonalitis. It has not cleared up. It's been since Thanksgiving, which is a full 2 weeks now. 3 weeks? Is this the third week?
Did you get any antibiotics? Yes, by chance?
Dude. I got two different kinds, and they got the puffer. Hitting my freaking.
You got that good doc, yeah. Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, dude. And it just, I don't know, the cold. I'm sure like 22 degree weather is not good for bronchitis. So it hasn't.
I was sick for like 5.5 weeks myself, bro. Like I just got
it's
over it. So I
terrible,
feel
dude. Like I've had enough. All right, another subject we've got going on here is, I'm just gonna drop this on you. I'm gonna get a little mysterious, okay? Vera Wang, age 40. Henry Ford, age 40. Toni Morrison, age 39. Oprah Winfrey, age 32. Sam Walton, owner of Walmart, sidebar, fuck him, age 44. Martha Stewart, age 41. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about the age at which these people kind of got their break. So I was thinking about this the other day because I was listening to Mike Rowe on Joe Rogan. And sorry, this is a whole fucking Joe Rogan love letter, which I, dude, I like that. It's just he's just having real conversations with people, and it's great. And Mike Rowe's fucking awesome. It was a great episode, and he didn't do the show Dirty Jobs till he was like 41. And he started as an opera singer, and he did that as like a backdoor to get his SAG card, because he couldn't get his SAG card because you needed this and you had to have this to get that and blah blah blah.
He's like supposed to have an agent and a manager.
Yes, and he backdoored it and blah, blah, blah. And then he didn't even think he wanted to be. And then he stayed one for 8 years. But I say all that to say this, you're not too late. You're not too late. Mm-hmm. There is no timeline. There is not a race. And it was a good reminder for me, because we get to comparing ourselves and we get to thinking like, man, I'm not there yet. I didn't make it. I need to do more. I wish I was further. And so often, man, like, if you're, you know, in your 20s or 30s, you're not too late. Nothing's too late. I want to extend this because I know we even have older listeners. My mom graduated college when she was like 54. She got her slip degree, speech and language pathology. So this like timeline and this idea that we have to do X by a certain age is just bullshit. And I immediately texted Cameron and I was like, dude, this, and I don't think I'm going to be like Joe Rogan or anything, but I'm like, this could still, like, we're not too late. Well, this could still turn into more and like whatever we want it to turn into. It just takes the right break or the hard work or the consistency or whatever. But I just think it's so important to remember, like, you're not too late. It's not too late. There's no timeline. It's not a race. Like, you have time. Just keep working at it. There is no, like, should I have done this by this or done that by that, you know?
Facts, man. Well, and I think it's worth noting, like, the sort of the other side of that coin, which is for me, that if I'm not doing, like, if throughout the year, if there's not at least a couple times where I'm like worried things are gonna go one way or the other, you know, like fall apart, I personally don't believe that I'm like pushing the boundaries enough, you know. And that's the point where I'm at in my life, so I'm only speaking for myself, but I say that to highlight that a certain level of discomfort that's going to be, you know, individual to the listener is necessary, yeah, in my opinion, to have a life worth living, because everything else is just kind of NPC behavior. But that's, you know, if NPC life is the way, then like there's a pride to be had in that too. But like, dude, I love when Joe Rogan talks about like, you know, if I could live like 12 other lives, I would, because like I'm so interested in so many things, yeah, that like I can't, if I hear something like, you know, somebody say like I'm bored, or, you know, I would like to have this life, but you know, XYZ things are stopping it. It's like,
it's not.
I want, dude, I want to see you thrive so bad, man. Like,
oh, well, yeah. I heard that too. And this is the difference between me and Joe Rogan, and I think it's ADD is the answer, but the difference between me and I guess some normal people, or I don't even know if we'd call him normal, I guess we'd call him highly motivated, is this motherfucker. Definitely. Said, I love martial arts, and he put everything into it and got really good at it. And then he said, I love pool, and does the same thing. And he says, I could live 12 different lives because I don't play golf because everyone gets way too into it and I don't have the time. Well, the difference between me and him, I want to do all the things. And so I just get like, all right, at all of them. I could do all the stuff pretty all right because I don't have this fucking laser focus of, you know, maybe I should just stick with this one thing and be good at it.
I get hyper fixated and my tism just attaches. Yeah. And then at some point it lets go and I forget.
And then it's Toy Story where Andy drops it. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Exactly. Dude. Now I have all this woodworking equipment in my garage that just
gets dusty. That the worst, man? Like, if I could just harness and hold that initial fire, that, and then it just,
I call it the Friday afternoon energy.
Yeah.
I used to say, man, like the feeling when I had a 9-to-5-ish, when I had an office job, that feeling of Friday afternoon leaving to go home, I wish you could bottle that. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, I tried and maybe I found it for a little while, but just to channel that vibe, that energy on a Monday morning, you know, or consistently throughout the week like that.
Or channel some of that Joe Rogan discipline to just learn and practice one thing and be really good at it. Cause I'm just like all over the place. I want to do all the stuff, you know?
So much, bro. Big time.
Yeah. And along with this, there was one more thing that they were talking about. And I kind of mentioned it. We mentioned it before, but I do think it's so important. Is comparison is the thief of joy. Oh man, I don't have what they have, or I'm not where they're at, or I'm not where, you know, and
keep it up with.
Furthermore, one thing that I think is like so important is hating on somebody takes energy, and it creates negative energy. Like, it to be mad and to like insert yourself in someone else's business takes energy that you could be using to do the things you like or find joy. Or, and along with that, like, personality is contagious. So if a hating ass motherfucker's hanging dab-a-dee-ba-dee, then the other mother, yeah, and we're pretty pissed off. And I see this in the workplace all the time, because as soon as one homie in the crew goes, man, he fucking leaves all the time and he never fucking does a thing, he won't pick up a hammer, blah, 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 then everybody does it. But if one dude's like, hey, we're fucking smashing it out today, baby, let's go, we're like, yeah, we're crushing this shit, dog. So, bye. Like, it's just a reminder to think about your energy, what kind of energy you're putting out, and because it's contagious, and you can do it. You could just decide, hey, I'm gonna fucking love bomb the office today and make everybody hype. You can walk in there like, yep, hey, Cindy, looking fly. Is that a new haircut? What's really good? And they're like, damn, yep, what's going on with Henry? I don't know, but I kind of like it. It's like, ooh, girl, where'd you get that skirt? Let's go, baby. We're gonna crush it. And then, like, vibes are high.
One of my favorite people on social media right now to see his reels and like YouTube shorts or whatever is a dude that just walks around and he does different like levels of social engagement, you know? So he'll do like, he does it like with tonality and approach. So he'll, you know, he'll say something to a random passerby in like a negative tone, a down tone. He'll be like, hey, you know, and nobody ever responds. Yeah. And then like level two is a positive tone. And he'll go, hey, how you know, have a good day. And I hope you're having a good day. And normally somebody will chirp back. And then he adds, you know, hey, hope you're having a good day. You're looking good. You know, and he goes through like the motions of just social interaction. And it actually is a topic that is controversial, because you look in the comments and people are like, oh, stop being a creep. And it's like,
yeah,
this is humanity. Yeah. This is peak humanity. He's doing the bare minimum social interaction with people on the street, and we're so desensitized, and we're so overstimulated by like,
talking to me?
Right, by non-verbal communication in every fashion, that seems intrusive, and you know that's a thing, man. Like, dude, we got to get back to eye contact and handshakes.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say, hug a motherfucker. Yeah, there's this other guy who pulls up to people in his car and he goes like, hey, and normally people, immediate reaction is like, what's this motherfucker wants? And he goes, right, you look fantastic today. Or he goes, yeah, man, you're fucking hair, you're having a great hair day. And dude, the fucking beaming smiles that just come, they're like, yeah, they're like so happy.
It makes such a big difference.
And yeah, like, I figured it out too, because I used to love arguing with people on social media. Or I thought I did, right? But I realized, like, when I'm fucking waiting for that person to respond, and I'm checking my phone, and I can't focus on whatever it is I'm doing, because I can't wait to tell this motherfucker how stupid they are again. You know? That takes energy, bro. I don't have energy for that. I don't have energy to, like, store negativity. Like, we're either gonna squash our shit. Like, if I'm good friends with you, we're going to squash our shit and air our shit and figure it out. Or if I'm not that good friends of you, I don't fuck with you anymore, because I don't have time for this negativity and this bullshit. Oh, you know, like, and
there's this air of, in the, what I see going on a lot, and I fall victim to it all the time, is the misconception of, we all need to be on the same page.
Okay.
Nuh-uh. No, the fuck we don't. No, the fuck we don't. Full stop. Because it's like, when we get into issues, you know, when it gets political, when it gets social, whatever, it always comes down to, like, semantics, yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, things do have valid concerns. But when I hear people argue about, like, ideals, what I hear are two people arguing two sides of the same thing and just not agreeing to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point where it's like, okay, you live that way, I live this way, and I still fucking love you.
Yes.
You know, and it's, you know, and I've been hearing this my whole life, and it's just now, I think, sinking in that, like, it is perfectly okay, as long as your pursuit of happiness doesn't trump on mine.
Yeah.
To fucking, to do it, pursue it.
Yes.
You know, it ain't got shit to do with me. And as I look at it, like when I'm driving on the highway, you know, I don't like getting cut off, and I don't like getting, you know, I don't like dealing with bad drivers, and I'm not always the best driver, so people might not like dealing with me. But something I've resolved myself to is, like, I get road rage, it happens. I will not slow myself down. I will not, like, I will not hinder my own self to get back at somebody else on the road. You know, like, when I get petty, I want to brake check the motherfucker riding my butt, like, real bad. But what I realize is that I'd be slowing myself down to try and get back at them. And so the best thing that I can do is either A, just stay the course, you know, and let things play out the way they're going to play out. Get out of the way, because I'm probably being the dick. Or be the asshole, right? Slow myself down, create negative momentum, slow the world down and every bit of progress that could have happened in those couple seconds. And you know, and it's as simple as that, right? I'm not going to slow myself down to get some sort of, like, gratification for being right, or, you know, like feeding my ego to think that, you know, I'm the smartest and most virtuous and best fucking anything. Because I don't know that
I am. I'm going to let them know I showed them. Yeah, and on the other side of that, that reminded me, my anger management teacher used to talk about all the time, like, the person that cuts you off, right? You're cussing and you're fucking pissed off and you let it ruin your whole day. And guess what? That person is living their life, having a good time. They just stopped and got a donut and they're stoked on it. And they didn't even realize they cut you off. You took it as this affront that they, like, were like, fuck you, you ain't, like, got a personal man in your family, and cut you off. They're fucking airheaded and didn't even realize they did it.
They got shit to do
with
me.
They're having a great day, but your day is ruined. That's the allowing people to live rent-free in your head, right? That motherfucker. And they're off having a great day. And, oh, man, there's so much good stuff in there. What else were we talking about? Yeah, dude, just the, like, and yeah, I don't think people kind of think about, like, the, like I said, the energy, like, it, you have to put work into being mad, you know, you have to, like, fuel that fire when you could just, like, you just, like, let it go.
The cost is high.
Just kind of, like, move on. And goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, stress causes sickness in your body. So, like, fucking...
And here we are talking about how sick we are and how long we've been sick. You know, that's part of it, man. That's part of my, like, intentional slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to see a doctor more times this year than I have in probably, like, the last couple combined, you know, trying to play catch up, trying to get some, like, chemical intervention, you know, for the things that I'm not able to supplement in my daily life. Like, I need to get my house in order, man. And I feel like a lot of the stuff we're talking about is not root caused, but absolutely exacerbated by that overstimulation, you know, having a baseline dopamine level that's dependent on things outside of our body. You know, I'm trying to break those chains.
Quotes that I've seen said something like, if you don't take time for your physical health at some point, you will have to take time for your physical health. So, like, take care of your body, or one day that motherfucker will break down. And then instead of you having to have ran 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week, now you got to lay in a bed 7 days a week because you wanted to fuck off and not take care of your domicile.
Yeah. Or you just ran until the wheels fell off and fucking dropped dead at 55. Yeah.
And, like, that's with my dad, dude. He's 74 this year, And he's a farm boy, man. He's a worker, workaholic, you know, well documented on this show. And now, dude, I had like finally got through him. Like, your granddaughters are only going to be this old today. And then tomorrow they'll be, you know, and I have so much stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but you have so much stuff. And then you'll turn around and they're 10 or they're 17 or, you know, whatever. And I finally got through to him, dude. And when he sends me a picture, he gets, my niece, Wallace, my sister's daughter, and my daughter, Myla, and takes them, and he'll send me a picture of them at the park. And, dude, it makes me so fucking happy because not only are those girls spending time with their grandfather, but my dad's taking a fucking break. My dad's chilling. Yeah. My dad's, like, not working and busting his ass and doing a project and busybody. He's, like, slowing down and sitting on the ground with a toddler explaining to her why a bee lands on a flower, you know? And it's like, God, it makes me I'm like, feel this warmth because, like, this man has been busting his ass for 70 years, bro. And I'm like, thank God he's relaxing for half a day.
Yeah. Dude, that's, like, Squish's his grandpa, so Morgan's stepdad, is this he's like one of my favorite people because he's so stoic, and he's like he has no need to impress anybody ever whatsoever, but he is so impressive. And he's just, you know, speak softly, carry a big stick kind of guy, and very stoic, doesn't show much anything, but man, when he sees that baby boy, he's a puddle, you know, he is just a softy, and you see his shoulders let, you know, go down, and the whole body language relaxes. And it's just, it's one of the most amazing things as a parent to see, man. And to see somebody, same deal, you know, that just works and works and works and always has, you know, busy bee mentality going on. That one thing that I know for sure will slow him down is seeing that little squishy boy.
So we were talking earlier about your hobbies and stuff. Go sit with your niece or your nephew or your grandson or your granddaughter, you know, just slow down and put your fucking phone down, man, and see what it is they're frisking on, what it is they're curious about. And like, yeah, we've been trying to buy Lyndon like arts and crafts type stuff to get her off the screens, you know, because when she does it, it's so cool. She like gets tape and she like builds a motorcycle out of like a box and painter's tape. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's badass. Dude. You know, like we gotta foster that, you know, that creativity. Yeah.
Dude, a couple of days ago, Aiden thought he was in trouble because I told him, like, turn the TV off and go play with your brother. And I sent him to his room because that's where his toys are. You know, all the things we bought him to play with. And I'm like, go in there, and he's like stomping, you know, he's like, oh man, like dad's the worst. And he gets in there, and you know, 3 minutes later, he comes out with like a blanket as a cape, and he's got like a mask on, and he's got a whole little get up, and he's like, I'm a wizard. And I'm like, you're darn right you are, you know. And it's like, that's what I'm talking about, dude. Like, you're bored, figure it out.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, well, God. And then it's so funny when we have these conversations because I'm like, yeah, so anyway, I'm going to go upstairs and sit on my phone for 3 hours until I go to sleep now, you know? It's like the standing in the mirror, like, yeah, man. It's a good reminder, though. And
okay, man.
It's you know, we're all works in progress, and that's why what we do here. We speak honestly, and we talk about aspirations. We talk about best practices. We don't always practice them, but you know, progress over perfection, baby.
Come on.
Well, man, I want to thank you a lot for coming on. Cameron will have a nice little surprise. The guests will have a nice little surprise. It's been a great conversation. I don't love doing solo pods because it's like freestyling for 30 minutes straight and no one to respond, and you're
no
like
sounding board, no
yeah,
back and
because especially you get I get lost, and people hear me all the time. I go, I mean, you get it, right? And then Cameron goes, yeah, and I'm like, does that even make sense? I don't know, there's no one here to answer me, so anyway.
Is there anybody in there?
But if you're listening, if you love the show, if you like the show, hit the follow button on whatever platform you're listening on. Also, send it to a friend, tell a pal, and follow us on Instagram, Rude Dude Pod on IG. That's where all the reels are. We're very active on there. And dude, Jesse, let me tell you a little story. We got listeners in over 23 countries, and we say this all the goddamn time. If you're from another fucking country, message us on Instagram. We'll respond. We know you're out there, you damn creepers, just listening and not never saying a damn word. Medicine Hat Canada. Dude, the Canadian.
Are you calling them out right now? Town by town.
Dude, the Canadian towns are so funny. There's one, it's Medicine Hat, and there's another one. Oh, God, what's it called? But yeah, we have a lot of Canadian listeners.
I'll say that sounds like a reservation.
If you're from, and we've said this a million times, if you're from a foreign country and you message us on Instagram, we'll send you a free t-shirt. Say hello, right? Jesse, tell them, dude. Tell them.
Holiday, who be wanting? Come on now.
Yeah. So anyway, Australia. Oi. Isn't it? No, wait. That's British. Damn it. I always mix them up.
Ain't it?
Shrimp on the Barbie. Oh, God. They hate us. They're gone. All right. Anyway, follow us on Instagram. And I will end this how Cameron always ends this. I love you, Cam. And I love you too, Jesse.
Love you, brother. And love you too, Cam.
And remember, children, be yourself and fuck what they think. And
always white back to front.
And now we do our best, Cameron, which I'm sick and I can't even do it when I'm not. But he goes, music, I'm here, eagle eye. I'm a puppy, then boy, the lyrics are right. Oh, no. I check it, I know.